So today, we are obviously in Psalm 103. This may be a little bit of deja vu with a much less good-looking guy up here, because John, if you remember last week, did Psalm 103. So I didn't in any way think he didn't do a good job or anything like that, or I could do any better at it, but about a week and a half ago or so, I was like, well, I finally finished Psalm 2, and I asked my beautiful wife, I said, while we were doing some dishes, I said, hey, what's your favorite psalm? She said, Psalm 103. So anyway, I read it to refresh my mind and memory about it and thought, wow, that's a really wonderful psalm. So even before John did his devotion, I hadn't really written any notes down, but I was already meditating and thinking on this psalm. And I'm really looking forward to getting to study it together with y'all. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And Mr. Tom, would you open us up this morning? Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, gathering us together. I ask, Lord, that you would bring Father, our brothers and sisters here this morning safely. We can gather in your presence to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask, Lord, that you would open our ears, Father, to your voice. That you would give us eyes that understand, Father, what we read on the page. That you give us, Lord, hearts devoted, worshipful, full of adoration for your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray you would do a work in us, Lord, that as we specifically look at this psalm this morning, that, Father, you would grip us. You would cause us to be attentive to all the details, Lord, that you have for us. Those details, Father, that you have for us as individuals, and those that you have for us as a church. Father, those things that glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Those things, Father, that exalt him, show us in your word this morning, Lord. We desire, Father, we desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We desire, Father, to learn more about him. Father, we are thankful that your mercies are infinite. We thank you, Lord God, that likewise, that the knowledge of God is infinite, that we'll never exhaust, Father, who you are. We thank you. And I pray, Lord, that this morning again, with our feeble and finite minds, that, Lord, you would give us an unction of your Spirit, Lord. That you would work in us, each one of us, Father. Pray you help my brother now as he goes through Psalm 103. Father, bring to his memory those things that he's been studying. Those things that, Father, perhaps maybe he forgot. Those things, Lord, that we understand in the spiritual warfare, those things that the enemy would not want him to deliver. We pray, Father, that you would give him liberty and freedom and boldness to preach and teach on those very things. And thank you again, Lord, that you've called us together. We pray, Father, that this time might be to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his kingdom, to his covenant. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Psalm 103, we'll go ahead and start by reading it. Go a little bigger on the screen there. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Very powerful psalm. I'm going to start with a quote from Spurgeon. How can you go wrong with that, possibly? But he wrote in a way only it seems Spurgeon could. He said, "As in the lofty Alps some peaks rise above all others, so among even the inspired psalms there are heights of song which overtop the rest. This 103rd psalm has ever seemed to us to be the Monte Rosa of the divine chain of mountains of praise, glowing with a ruddier light than any of the rest. It is as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, and its golden fruit has a flavor such as no fruit ever bears unless it has been ripened in the full sunshine of mercy. It is man's reply to the benedictions of his God, his song on the mount answering to his Redeemer's sermon on the mount." Such beautiful words to describe the psalm. Notice in Psalm 103:1, the very first word, of course, is bless. This contrasts a bit with devotions that I've done recently in the past. You'll remember in Psalm 1:1, which was two psalms ago in the devotions that I did, it said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Psalm 2:12 says, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him." We said in those psalms, it's referring to people who are blessed. They're blessed because they have a blessers. And we're going to see this theme play out. However, these passages describe a person who is blessed, but this psalm is describing something different. It says bless in the form of an imperative. It's saying this is a command to do something that is essential. My wife asked me this morning if there would be any Hebrew this morning, jokingly. She gave me a little hard time there, and I said, well, of course. So, of course, we have some Hebrew. The Hebrew for blessed that's used here is different than Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. It is barak, which means to kneel and to bless. Bless the Lord is an imperative. It is a non-negotiable. It is so imperative that it is used 6 times in the Hebrew. And there's a 7th time that it's actually translated in English. If you have an NASB, you might see that the 2nd time that it's used in verse 1, it's actually probably in italics. And that's because generally that's added, especially in the NASB, just to add clarity and to add understanding to what you're seeing there. But the times that you see it in the original context is in verses 1, 2, and 22. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." In verse 1, it says, bless the Lord. The second time it says it in verse 1, it says, bless his holy name. In verse 20, we see, scroll down here, see, bless the Lord, O you his angels. Verse 21, we see, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers. Verse 22, we see, bless the Lord, all his works. And after that, we see again, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the same word used throughout, continuously. Again, it is an imperative, it is a non-negotiable that my soul, all that is within me, his angels, his hosts, his ministers, all of his works in all places, in all of dominion, bless the Lord. So that doesn't sound imperative. I don't know what could. The absolutes also underscore the imperative nature of blessing the Lord. We're going to talk more about this later, but initially you can also see in verse 1, it says not only bless the Lord, O my soul, but it says all that is within me. Regarding the angels, it qualifies them. It says the mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Verse 21, it says hosts and ministers. It says who do his will. Verse 22, it says all his works in all places of his dominion. So all of me, obeyers of his word, those doing his will, all of his works across all dominion, bless the Lord. Remember also in Psalm 1 and 2, we talked about that there's this pattern that plays out, cycle that we studied a little bit, especially in Psalm 1, which was there's a blesser in God who's passing down a blessing upon his blessed. We even looked at some New Testament passages like, James 1, 17 and 18. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift, that's the blessing, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, the blesser, of whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he, the blesser, brought us, the blessed, by his word of truth, a blessing, that we, the blessed, should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures, of a blessing that he bestowed on us. Psalm 103 adds to this cycle. It says, not only is there a blesser who's giving a blessing to his blessed, but it's saying, you must return that blessing back to the blesser. So the cycle gets completed in that. So we had three different steps that were added in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. We see this extra step that's saying, what are you supposed to do with this blessing? Are you just supposed to bask in the sunshine and go, ah, that's so good and so wonderful to be in the Lord? Of course you are. Of course you're supposed to enjoy the Lord and enjoy the rest of the Lord. You're supposed to enjoy a Sabbath, a day of rest. You're supposed to meditate on his word, which the psalm also talks about. However, bless the Lord is an imperative. It is, I must bless the Lord. There is no plan B. There is no alternative. This is what you were created for. This is what you're supposed to do, even while you're basking in the sunshine of his glory. Another way that, what you could also compare it to or contrast it with is if you think to Romans 1. Romans 1 has this devolving that goes on. It's its own form of circle, whereas we're talking about the circle of life that God has given us that is blesser, blessing, is blessed to return blessing over and over and over. Romans 1, you find it very different. It's a devolving. They're kind of going down a toilet. And as they get to the towards the bottom of the toilet, you get Romans 1:28, and it says, God gave them over to a debased mind. Even in their own mind, they're like, I don't even want to do this. I have no inkling to do this. I have no desire to do this. And their whole life lives out that devolving, their own form of a circle that they traded this glorious circle of returning blessing for. Also, something else that came to mind is, and it really struck me when I first started coming to GBF, was Mr. Mark, when he prays, almost every time when he closes his prayer, he says, we love you and we bless you. And I was like, you don't really typically hear that, just in normal conversation. You see it in scripture, but you don't normally hear, oh, I'm going to bless the Lord, because we think of something that, like somebody with greater resources or something. Oh, the rich guy blessed the poor and he gave to them. Obviously, this is not that, because you and I have absolutely zilch, zero, nothing if we don't have the Lord. So basically, we're just taking the riches he's given us and just returning those back to him, you know. So what really resonated with me, and when I hear him pray that, I think, you know, my soul and all that is within me must love and bless and thank the Lord. So it's essential that this continuing chain of what God has already done, but how is it that you bless the Lord? How is it that you bless his holy name? If you jump down to the second part of verse 2, there's a great starting point. It says, forget not all of his benefits. This remembering is a very key foundational part of praising and loving the Lord, of serving the Lord. Starts with remembering. Forget his blessings. And you've forgotten the blesser's blessing to you, his bless. You've broken the cycle just by simply forgetting the blessings of the Lord. David has an example of this also, not only in this psalm, but also in Psalm 16:7. He says, I will bless. Same word. I will barak. I will bless the Lord. I must bless the Lord. Who has advised me? Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. So most literally, again, he's saying I must bless. It also says that he has advised me. So he's hearkening back to the past. He's thinking in the past, God has blessed me by advising me. He's given me a sound mind to remember on these things. It says, indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. Again, if you contrast that with Romans 1:28, if God is not doing this, what is the alternative? He gives them over to a debased mind. That's not where David is at in Psalm 16. He's saying that the Lord has made me mindful of these things. In the past, he has brought this to my mind, to my memory, and I must bless him and must praise him for that. The Lord advising David led him to a mind that instructs and is sound, which is a blessing. The Bible is replete with this pattern. You'll find this time and time and time again. Psalm 26:11-12 says, but as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great assembly, I will bless the Lord. So the blesser's grace, standing on level ground, is the blessing that he has received. For David is blessed. And in the great assembly, I must bless the Lord. Another example with vivid imagery, Psalm 115:16-18. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of mankind. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into the silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time and forever. So again, breaking down the cycle, we have the blesser of the heavens as giving a blessing of the earth and of life itself to the sons of mankind, the blessed. And as for us, we must bless, we must barak the Lord from this time and forever. Praise the Lord. That's how that verse ends. Praise the Lord. It's imperative. Psalm 115 has lots of different instances and forms of bless, not only this word, but there are other versions. So if you're ever looking for a really great word study, especially around the word bless and the different contexts of it, you will see it used in many forms, many times throughout that psalm. So that's a really fun one to do too. We see this again. We just see this frequent pattern. Blesser gives blessing to the blessed, who says, I must return blessing back to the blesser. I think we've covered that. Next phrase in Psalm 103:1 is, O my soul. Again, we return to the Hebrew. We see it as nephesh, which in Hebrew describes living creatures, creatures that move, creatures that have life. It is used extensively in Genesis 1, no surprise, when creatures are being created. And it includes man in Genesis 2:17-19. It says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, a nephesh. Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, every nephesh, that was its name. So bless the Lord, O my living creature of the Lord. That's what is literally being said here in Psalm 103:1. Or literally, I must bless the Lord, this living creature of his.
Amen.
Psalm 65:4-6 ties all of this together beautifully. It says, so I will bless you. I will barak you. I must bless you. As long as I live, in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul, my nephesh, my living creature that you've created, will be satisfied with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. So I must bless the Lord as long as I live. I must lift my hands to him. This living creature will be satisfied, and my mouth will praise him when I remember him and when I meditate on him. This is the foundation of a Christian's life. The soul that this living creature is in is the origin, but David adds to that. He doesn't just leave it at this living creature that God's created. He adds to it and says, but all that is within me. When I worked at UNC, I used to work with a cast of kind of quirky, interesting characters, and one of them was this guy named Barry. He was probably the guy I was the closest to, the one I definitely prayed the most for, the one I tried to share the Lord with the most, but one of his quirks was he was very particular about absolutes. So, and if you think about what we did IT work and technical stuff, and people would say, oh, this always happens in the morning. Well, does it literally always happen in the morning? Because if it doesn't, you're just saying that that's not as conclusive. If it always happens at 8:45, I know at 8:45 something's happening and you look for that. So he's very particular, and this came in handy in our jobs. But I like to give him a hard time, and I would say things to him like, you always get upset when people use absolutes, which, you know, is kind of its own form of irony for him. We see a lot of absolutes here, used here in Psalm 103. Not anything questionable or, you know, sketchy or any kind of, you know, hazing like I was doing with Barry in the way that they're used. But we see the word all, the same word used 9 times in Psalm 103. Verse 1, it says, all that is within me. Verse 2, it says, all his benefits. Verse 3, it says, he forgives all of your iniquity. Verse 3, it goes on to say, he heals all your diseases. Verse 6 says, he will provide justice for all who are oppressed. Verse 7 says, his kingdom rules over all. Verse 21 says, bless the Lord, says all his hosts, his ministers, who do his works. And not only do they do his works in verse 22, they do all his works, all places of his dominion. So let there be no doubt, all of me and all that there is must bless, must barak the Lord. Going back to verse 1, we see that there is there is also this phrase that says, all that is within me. That is the Hebrew kareb, means the inward part. Specifically here, it means the faculty of thought and emotion. Another place that it's used in the exact same context and is a great place to look to understand it further is Psalm 64, 5, and 6. Now, this is describing not people that are holy and sanctified. This is describing heathen, but the context of the understanding of this particular word still holds. It says, they hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart, the kareb of a man, are deep. So these are the inward thoughts of the mind and the emotions of the heart. They're not just this living creature, but they're the absolute most inward. All of my inward thoughts and emotions, again, what must they do? They must praise the Lord. This is not just you as a living creature. This is with everything that you have, every thought you have, every emotion you have, everything within your, every fiber of your being. Some living creatures, as we talked about, use these same thoughts and emotions to bless themselves, which is obviously doing nothing but raising an actual curse on themselves, to pursue themselves, to break that cycle of returning back to the blesser or even acknowledging that he exists. They fail in the very first step of acknowledging that there is a blesser. But in him, we can definitely take encouragement as we get ready to prepare for our time of prayer. We can remember that the rich blessing of our blesser, that he has given us his son, he has given us life in his son. We can remember back on those things. We can remember back on his past faithfulness. We can take great encouragement in the blessing of sound mind and sound hearts that we have right now today, because those are blessings that we're enjoying the fruit of right now. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's just reflect on and remember God's faithfulness. Praise him as blesser. Thank him for his blessings and that he's chosen to bless us, so that our soul and all that is within us says, I must praise the Lord. That's Psalm 103:1 today. So on that note, why don't we take a few minutes to go ahead and pray. Pray as you feel led. Definitely, I would encourage you to call out to the Lord. Call out, just as Brother Tom prayed for me as I was going to be sharing this. He said, call to mind the things that you had him study. Call to mind the things that maybe he didn't even study. Let's have, let's just call on the Lord to remind us of his faithfulness. Call on him to, really to praise him for where he has us, in this church, in this body, that we have people to go through, in this journey with as well. So, I'll go ahead and open us up. And John, would you mind closing us? Thanks. Lord, we do praise you. We do bless you, Lord. We do say that as believers, Lord, that we must bless you. Lord, I pray that you would bring to mind the wonder and the amazement and perhaps even the newness and the excitement of our relationship with you. Finding out that there is not only a God who brought all this about, but that he is a rich blesser of his people. Or perhaps we could think of the first time, as far back as we can go, and think of when we were sitting in a church service and we heard your word preached. Perhaps if we didn't hear that until later in life, Lord, we can think back to the first conversations that we had, when maybe even we were dismissive of you, Lord. We can remember that there was grace even in those moments, that you did not say, I'm done with them, and wash your hands of us, Lord. That your spirit kept pursuing us through relationships, through creation itself, through us being living creatures, through the blessings that you've given us, Lord. Through common grace, Lord, that you give to the masses, and through very specific callings that you give to your chosen, Lord. Lord, may we not forget that. I thank you, Lord, so much for this lofty and beautiful and sweet psalm that you have inspired David to write so long ago, Lord, that even all these thousands of years later, that it is no less relevant, Lord, that we can take no less encouragement from it than David. But Lord, even though circumstances or even the state of the world around us is what we see may be different, Lord, the truth of what's going on, the truth of who you are is not, Lord. And that, Lord, sometimes we might think of the responsibility that we have to love you and to serve you and to pray and to praise you, to call out to you, Lord. But the Lord, that you would, again, just remind us of the wonder and the freshness and the beauty and the simplicity and the true opportunity that it is, Lord. Not that it is just our responsibility and a requirement, Lord, because we don't live under pure state of law, Lord. We live under grace. We praise you for the grace that you have extended to us. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would minister to everyone in this room right now and everyone on Zoom right now, Lord. Remind them of your faithfulness. Prepare their hearts to praise you in song. Prepare them to offer encouraging words and to find encouraging words through brothers and sisters. The psalm would be a blessing to their spirits, Lord, and Mr. Mark comes to preach in a little while, Lord, also that you would prepare their hearts, make them fertile soil for the words of your scripture and for the words of that teaching as well, Lord. I praise you, Lord, so much for the manifold blessings that you've given to me, Lord, so far beyond anything I could ever comprehend. Sadly, Lord, so much more than I often even stop to contemplate, to praise you for, to meditate on, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, right now for that conviction, for that, your spirit's calling, Lord, to remind me to that. Thank you for the opportunity to study this psalm this week, as well as to get to study it together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Praise you, Lord, so much for the true blessing that the fellow blessed along with me, these brothers and sisters in Christ, are to me, Lord. Praise you for keeping me encouraged and endurant even in the last few weeks that we've been away, Lord. But I praise you so much that you've seen fit to bring me back together with these folks to get to enjoy the rich blessings of a walk with you, a walk with them, Lord, in your glory. We pray, Lord, that as you've so often met the needs of this church and needs that we didn't even know we had, Lord, over roughly four decades. Lord, that even now we praise you that you are meeting needs that we know we have and that we don't know we have, Lord, such as perhaps decisions to be made about where to meet in the future, how to go about that. Perhaps even that would carry over into ministries and a place to meet outside of Sunday mornings or even Wednesday nights, places to do other forms of ministry, Lord, that we've never even contemplated. We praise you, Lord, that you're doing that, and we pray and ask you, Lord, to guide us by the power of your Spirit in making decisions about where to do that, how to do that. And as Mr. Frank prayed before our meeting a few weeks ago, that we would be unified in that, that we would have peace amongst the brothers and sisters. And any particular divisiveness that Satan might have in mind, that that would not affect your blessed, Lord, because we are protected by the power of your Spirit, by the holiness of the ground that you have put before us and that you have put within us, Lord. So, Lord, we just pray for unity in all decisions related to that. Lord, we also pray that ultimately it would not just be a place that is more comfortable and cool or warm or comfortable seats or whatever, Lord, but that what is foremost in our minds and in our prayers and in our motivations, Lord, is your glory. We pray that that place, wherever it may be, whether here or across the parking lot or in a place we've never even seen or contemplated, Lord, that that would be the place that you would do the greatest for your glory and good, and that we would be truly blessed through that as well, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you've given us a burden for this, that you've given us a calling to it and a desire for it, Lord. We pray that we would be faithful to trust you for timing and direction, and to really just savor the rich blessings that we have even here now, Lord. It's going to be 90 degrees today, probably by the time we're done with service. We have air conditioning, Lord. And even when we don't, Lord, regardless of circumstances, none of that changes your glory and your majesty and the reason that we gather together in your name. Lord, I lift this all up to you. I praise you again for this song, for this opportunity to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus.
Well, I want to thank you and bless you this morning and my own soul. Father, how great of a love and kindness has we read. How many blessings, right? So many details, right? You've given us how particularly we are blessed. Lord, from east to west and north to south. Lord, just that your world, your earth, and all the people on today exist, dying, living. Give me grace, give me judgment, Lord. Holy Spirit working through all the nations, tongues, and tribes. Father, as we meet to bless you, to praise you, just thank you, that how good it is to go together in unity, Lord, to bless your name. So I ask you to do that today, Lord, in word, like my brothers and preachers. Father, as we worship, as we sing and rejoice in this day, we love you.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all your benefits, especially the chronicling of 4,000 years of history from creation until the last 33 years when the Son of God walked his earth as an example unto us with your New Testament. That was sealed, and that we should do like the children in the Old Testament, to, as was instructed to them, to remember, to tell their children, so that their children would tell their children what a great God the nation of Israel worshiped. showed us an example to the rest of the world. And then our Lord Jesus Christ is the final statement. And what we have done with it for the past 2,000 years together. Awaiting his return, that we might be about blessing your most holy name.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you again in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come before you to bless your name this morning, Father, as the Psalm says, 103, Lord, we thank you for that word that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for pouring out your blessing, your grace, your mercy upon our lives. Lord, for saving us, redeeming us, Lord. Putting us right with you, Lord, and moving your wrath from us, God. We bless your name for that and for the, Lord, uncountable amount of blessings, Lord, that you've given us in this life so far, Lord. For all your goodness poured out to us, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. Through the trials, Lord, that you've given us, because of them, Lord, by your grace, we're able to lift up praise to you within these trials. The various things we're going through right now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to do that by your grace, to be able to praise you in these various trials we're in, even here this morning. To not only praise you through them, but praise you because of them. Lord, tune our hearts to be good. Lord, give us the right mind and help us to be able to become better at remembering your many benefits, Lord, and to praise you with all our hearts, Lord. Bless your name. Lord, we pray that you would just lead us and guide us in this time and own the time, Lord. Help us to hear from you, Lord. Help us tune our ears to be able to truly hear and comprehend your word, and give us grace to put it to practice. We look to you with this expectantly, Lord. And we look to you to meet us here, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.